You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. Wayne, it's been a big day. Do you remember in the old days when people used to look for the non-farm payrolls number? They still do, but that was the real monthly event when it came to US economic data. Now they look out for consumer price inflation. And consumer price inflation came out today, and it came in at 8.5%, which if I'd have said that to you a year or 18 months ago, you would say, goodness me, what's happened? But it was down. Yeah, exactly. But it's down from the 9.1% that was the print from the previous month. And it was slightly below so-called experts' expectations. So it's a good thing. And, of course, the market has taken off. And we'll talk about that in a second. But your immediate thoughts on this, because you have been predicting this.
Well, at long last, it's actually happened. That inflation will come down, and I still think that inflation's going to be very low middle second half of next year. I mean, it could go in the US go below 3%, because I think we're going to get negative food inflation and negative oil, and in a slowing economy there shouldn't be many wage pressures. So I think inflation's going to fall quite dramatically, and in South Africa we could also see inflation falling maybe even more than that, maybe even below 3%. Because there's no wage inflation, that's for sure.
No, there definitely isn't. In fact, I'm sure the Reserve Bank goes to sleep at night and has dreams about wage inflation, because that implies jobs being created. But, of course, that's not the case in South Africa. And if we go back to Friday, there was a jobs number from the United States. So you've got jobs being created. You've got inflation coming down. Is it all over? Is the last six months merely a bad dream?
Look, as far as inflation is concerned, it's over. But interest rates must still go up in America. I mean, interest rates are still quite a bit below that 7% level.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure the market correction is over, but the inflation scare is over, and pretty soon the interest rate hiking cycle will be over as well. And it's quite clear that the interest rates are going to be cut quite materially in the second half or next year, maybe even sooner. So, you know, maybe the equity market weakness is over. I don't know. I don't think so.
No.
But that could just be my opinion. But even if there is more weakness in the equity market, at worst, it'll probably touch the previous lows we saw 3 months ago or whenever it was. You know, so I've never been massively negative on equity. I've never expected a huge crash. But this rally we're seeing now has caught me a little bit. I didn't think it would rally this strongly, this quickly. And I'm still of the opinion it's a bear market rally. But, you know, only time will tell.
Well, that's interesting, because you see, on the one hand, inflation has peaked. On the other hand, on the same hand, actually, The interest rate raising cycle has also peaked. But if you have a look at the numbers, I think a lot of people will just read the headline, and they have read the headline and said 8.5%. They say, great, let's steam into the S&P up 1.75% as we speak. But then you've got the core inflation at 5.9%, which excludes all the volatile stuff, mainly gasoline prices in the US, which has now gone down on 56 consecutive days, incidentally. You've also got the monthly figure up 0.3%, wages up 0.5%. So there's so much for economists and for the US Federal Reserve to digest within, or rather below, that 8.5% figure. I don't think that we're at the end of this. I still think there's a little bit of adjusting to do. And the US bond market, okay.
Bond market's probably okay.
Yeah, but it's sort of said, no, this is not the end. We're still at 2.72% on the US 10-year. We were 2.67% straight after the figure. I don't know, there's more to this than meets the eye, Wayne. That's my opinion. At least I hope there is, as a broadcaster.
I mean, 8.4% inflation in the US is still a shocker. I mean, make no mistake about that.
Yeah.
But the Rand certainly liked it. I mean, the Rand is massively strong, And it's 16.20. Rand is very strong, and that's taken all the joy out of the mining shares.
Mm-hmm.
You know, along with, well, the commodity prices, Brent crude's down at 94 now. Thank goodness for small miracles.
And also the South African 10-year bond yield. I mean, the South African Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee must be looking at this and saying, it wasn't that long ago that I heard Wayne McCurry and Lindsay Williams speaking on a Wednesday, and it was 11.12% for the South African 10-year. It's now 10.03%, Wayne. This is a really, really big move. I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but that's what about... It's 100.
No, that's a good 5%. That's 8-9%.
8-9%, exactly, yeah, and more than 100 basis points. So that's very, very encouraging for anyone that has debt in South Africa, I would have thought. But anyway, as you say, the South African market has reacted to the surge in overseas markets, and I just hope it continues. The one set of results that came out today, and it's one of your favourites, well, the sector is one of your favourites, it's from the banking sector,
yes.
And that was Nedbank, Nedcor. What did you make of it?
I thought it was very much as expected, other than that special, not a special dividend, but the big increase in the dividend.
Right.
That was quite something. I mean, dividend profits were up by 24-27%. I can't quite remember, but something like that. And dividend is up 81%.
Why have they done that? Is this because they've been holding back in the past?
They've got excess cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's three reasons, I suppose. First of all, they've overprovided for bad debts in the past. Yeah. So their income itself is boosted. Because, you know, you shouldn't expect banks over time to grow their earnings much above 10% over long time periods. So the first thing is the boost from 10% to 24%, whatever the number is, percent, because of the bad debt provisions. The second thing is, in a rising interest rate environment, it actually benefits the bank's income statement because they lend money out tied directly to the overdraft rate, you know, to the prime rate.
Yes.
And yet they borrow money over longer time periods. So their interest cost takes time to reprice to the new interest rate, whereas the interest they receive reprices exactly the same minute it reprices. I mean, in higher interest rates over time isn't good for banks because they'll get less volume growth. So that's the second reason. And then the third reason is their balance sheets are very, very strong. They're getting single-digit loan growth, so they don't have to reserve against new borrowings going out. So they've got massive excess capital. And I've actually spoken about this a few times over the last couple of months, that I expected, you know, bigger dividends or special dividends, and I think all the banks will pay it now.
As a layman, and as a potential investor in banks, I would say, okay, that's very good. They've managed themselves so conservatively and so responsibly, while other banks overseas may not have done, employed the same policy. But on the other hand, you say to yourself, well, that means that they've got nowhere else to put their money apart from giving it back to shareholders. And it's not as if there's little banks here and there or little operations here and there, whether it be online banking operations, that they can buy. So it doesn't lend itself to an expansionary
We all know the South African economy is not doing well at all, and they can only do as well as the economy. There's nothing else to buy here. I wouldn't think they want to invest. To go overseas, I think many people have learned the lessons from, you know, going overseas and spending a lot of money and wasting a lot of money overseas. So if you've got excess capital, you pay it back. But the point is, you know, take Nedbank's results today. I mean, you're going to get, it's a 9 price earnings ratio share, normally single digit price earnings ratio shares. Unless there's something wrong, that's just cheap. You're at a historic dividend yield of 5%. So, you know, for the next six months, you can take that 5% and make it 9% divvy. Okay, you go take off the 20%, but you'll get a 7% dividend on the 6 month time period after tax. I mean, that still looks good value to me.
Very good value indeed, yeah. And I think a lot of overseas banks would take your arm off for that sort of number. Wayne, this is over the last 3 or 4 months actually. Maybe no. Let's condense it a little bit. Let's just go back to last week. You said you more or less intimated, don't get sucked in by this rally at the moment. It could be a bull trap.
Yes.
And today, it's got that sort of feeling to me. And so you've got a conundrum now. If you get left behind, you're going to have to play catch-up. If you're stoic,
yes,
and if you have patience, then you're going to be rewarded where other people are going to be punished. Where do you sit right now as you have a look at what's happened this afternoon with inflation and bond prices and equity prices, etc.?
It's a very difficult situation to actually react or make an investment decision in, but I suppose it's always difficult. In that you know the macro environment is bad, even though inflation has fallen, it's still 8.4%. Interest rates still have got to go up. The bond yield has gone from 0.6% to almost 3% in the US, and yet the equity market hasn't reacted to that. And as well, throw in a slowing economy with a possible recession. That's not good for equity. The market shouldn't be rallying to this extent. That's why we still think it's a bear market rally, but it's been very strong.
Yeah, it really has been. So you're sticking to your guns, you and your team.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I admire
that.
And
time will tell, unfortunately.
I think you're right.
Time will tell.
I think you're right. When I see these sort of numbers, when I see after an hour or so of trading, after the inflation figure, the S&P up nearly 2%, and just starting to come back a little bit now, but still at elevated levels, up 1.5%. And we've had a massive rally from the lows of 2-3 months ago. I'm slightly suspicious. I hope that, Wayne, I don't like you being wrong, but I hope you're wrong, and I hope you have to ease some money in at slightly more elevated levels for the long term. Of course, it won't matter about the first 4 or 5%. But
it doesn't actually matter.
No, it doesn't.
But you know, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, and I still said, you know, if I was forced to make a decision today, and I couldn't make another decision for another 3 years, I would buy shares.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah, so now you sit. But I will be honest, other than the equity market possibly correcting again, the big scare is finished on inflation.
Well, this is where I don't quite understand it. I mean, the UK and the US...
Oil's 94,
Yeah. Yeah, but...
Yeah.
But if you have a look at... I mean, I watch a lot of British television because of my ancestry. So I'll be watching, and they say the Bank of England forecasts inflation to peak at 13% in the early part I can't remember the time period. But anyway, there was a figure of 13% flashing on the screen. You go to the Bank of England website.
No, they're going to revise that downwards because they didn't take into account this fall in oil and the fall in food prices. They have definitively
but
not taken
there's a different there's out. A different situation when it comes to energy consumption between the UK and the US and between the Eurozone and the US, because they are addicted to liquefied natural gas. So LNG prices are still going higher.
No, that is true. Yeah.
So maybe they're right, and maybe the Bank of England will have to catch up with the other central banks and keep on raising. But okay, so the inflation shock is over. You've just got to sit and wait, Wayne. I think probably until September, October, we're after the holidays in the Northern Hemisphere, and say to yourself, okay, I was right or I was wrong. But as you say, what's a couple of months? Because you're in it for the long term. For your clients.
Yeah. Now I'm with you on that. Look, I'm just looking at the food price in dollars now.
Mm.
So this is the food index in dollars. It's fallen from 171. It peaked in March. It's now 139. You know, so that's a good 20% fall.
Yeah, it's a big move.
You know, and that's not even in the numbers. The big fall actually is happening now in August. You know, and it's exactly the same with crude.
Yeah, crude oil.
You know, you're going to very soon in the first half of next year get big negative numbers for oil, petrol, and food. I mean, big negative numbers. I mean, oil peaked at 125 in March as well. It's now 94.
Yeah, intraday it actually peaked to 139, but yeah, these are semantics.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you mean. It's still elevated at $94.32 a barrel on my screen right now.
Yeah, I think it's going to 70.
Mm.
I mean, it was, you can't believe it. It was in 70 in the second half of last year.
I know. It's been an extraordinary story. Okay, Wayne, so you've got a lot to chew upon. And talking about chewing, let's go to food now. And I have to tell you, Wayne, and you'll hate this, and you'll say, thank goodness I'm not going to the Williams household in the Netherlands over the next few days, because I'll say two words to you, cold soup. And the reason I'm saying...
No, I like cold soup.
Oh, do you? Oh, because there's a fantastic...
Maybe not in winter.
No, but I'm in
maybe
summer.
Maybe not in winter.
Hmm. It's going to be...
It's very different. What's the very fancy name for it?
Well, there's one called Vichyssoise, which is a leek and potato yes. soup with a bit of cream in it. Very, very delicious. There's another tomato one called gazpacho, which is one of my favourites. It's a sort of a Spanish dish.
I like both of them, in fact.
Oh, goodness me, with a bit of chilli in that gazpacho. But there's 10 cold soup recipes in the Guardian newspaper, which is my favourite read in the UK. And I'm sort of saying to myself, you don't have to cook this stuff either. You just get your blender. I've got a good blender. You whack it in there, and it comes out, and you put a few sprigs of chives and stuff on it and drizzle it with olive oil, and away you go. And I like that. And that, the only reason I'm saying that is because the weather here is going from nice and warm, sort of 23, 24 degrees, up to 35, 36 degrees over the next 3 or 4 days. So I think cold soup is the way to go. But I'm very glad that you've abandoned your outlook to food to being a little bit more sophisticated.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say I've got a sophisticated a taste, but no. I actually like Vichyssoise and gazpacho. It's actually incredibly tasty, especially gazpacho, because, as you said, you put a bit of chili in that, and it's really, really nice. Now, I went on Friday night, a new restaurant's opened up just around the corner from me.
Yes.
That serves Asian street food.
Ah, right. And
I had spicy chicken on a waffle.
Spicy and the chicken waffle on was a waffle. But what was the waffle made
waffle,
of?
A waffle, yeah.
Not like a sweet
waffle. An ordinary waffle.
Yeah.
Now, there's no syrup on it, but it's the same as a normal waffle mix.
Right.
But it was fantastically grilled. I don't know if you've been in the waffle maker. It came out slightly charred on the outside, but it was very succulent and soft and very fluffy, with nice chicken strips, with some Asian salad on it, and some really hot, spicy, like Peronese mayonnaise dressing on it with a bit of soya sauce. And it was absolutely delicious. I'm very happy this place has opened up, because there's about another 20 things I want to try on the Asian street food menu.
Where is that? In Rivonia, Morningside area? Where is it?
Yeah, it's Morningside. It's exactly opposite the Morningside Hospital.
No.
And there's been a few restaurants there. There was one called Shinami that was there, which was a seafood restaurant, which I thought was really good. And then a Portuguese restaurant, and Shinami went under, I think, unfortunately. And then a Portuguese restaurant opened up there, and that lasted for a long time, but then it didn't really survive lockdown. It opened up after lockdown, but it was never the same again. It was a very, very nice food. They had a fantastic prawn curry there, and they had a spatchcock chicken very well. I just can't remember the name. Just can't remember it right now. But now they closed, must have been 6 months ago, and now this new place has opened. So there's two restaurants that's opened up there. One is a cake shop. They are
cakes.
Affiliated to each other. So the one's got a cake. Now, I quite like cakes. I'm not crazy about it, but they've got some beautiful looking cakes and other things like that, and nice, very nice coffee. Then right next door, they've got the Asian food restaurant.
And it's good that it's opposite the hospital, because if something goes wrong, across the road you go.
Certainly better than hospital food. Although I must admit, I've had a couple of meals when I had my fingernail removed. I had a meal at the hospital restaurant there. It wasn't bad. It wasn't too bad. But certainly the Asian street food across the road is way better.
But you wouldn't have another deliberately have another fingernail removed just to go to the canteen at the restaurant? No.
I'm actually a bit upset about this. This was a year ago, and my nail still hasn't grown back.
Are you getting enough calcium in your diet?
I would think so, yeah. Because my other fingernails are growing like crazy. I could have cut them regularly, but this one, it's not quite the same.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hope it doesn't, you know, affect your daily activities, like, you know, fiddling in the under the boot of the Jaguars. No, but everything's fine.
Mm-mm.
Good. Okay. Well,
it's all working very well.
Yeah, you've got my mind thinking about all sorts of things now. So we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time, as always. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg, and that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.